Welcome to Dream University's Dream Talks, a series of conversations and interviews with thought leaders in the dream movement. Sit back, relax, and learn.
This week is very, very special for me because it's actually a dream come true. David Bach and I have talked about doing something together since I've known him. And, of course, David has taken off like a silver bullet. I call him Oprah's new golden boy, but he has long earned it. He's worked hard. A little intro on David, and then we'll hear from him. And then the end of the call, we will take about 15 minutes and open it up for questions. So, basically, David is helping the world learn how to live and finish rich and continues to inspire millions of people every day to take action to change their lives. I'm sure his name is familiar to you because he's the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, The Automatic Millionaire, as well as an entire series, the Finish Rich seminar series, and many, many books with that title in it, Smart Women Finish Rich, Smart Couples Finish Rich, and all kinds of workbooks to go with it. He's, my goodness, he's had one of the unique distinctions of actually having four books in his Finish Rich series appear simultaneously on the Wall Street Journal, Business Week, and USA Today bestseller list. I actually don't know anyone else who's done it. His latest work was just released. It's called Start Late, Finish Rich, and it was an instant international bestseller, hitting number one on the New York Times, USA Today, and so on, bestseller list. It's already in its fifth printing. You may have seen him on Oprah. He's been on many times, and he's done these incredible money makeovers with individuals and couples. I'll ask him to talk a little bit about that. But he's also a regular contributor on CNN American Morning, regularly on ABC's The View, NBC's Today. If you're turning on the television, you're probably seeing David. He's also, you know, I think it's important to note that prior to founding his own Finish Rich media company, he was a senior vice president at Morgan Stanley and a partner of the Bach Group, while during his tenure, he managed more than $500 million for individual investors. But probably my favorite thing after the fact that he's changing the world is that he lives with his beautiful wife, Michelle, and the son that he can't boast enough about, Jack. he lives in New York where he's working on his eighth book. You can find out more about David by visiting his website, which is finishrich.com. David, how are you?
Wow, what an intro. God, I'm exhausted just listening to it.
I'm exhausted, too. Are you tired? Tell us in a nutshell what what the last week of your life has looked like.
The reality is I've been on the road for almost 5 weeks straight. I just got back from 22 days of touring, so we have just been everywhere. It's a blur, but we've been all over. I just got back. Actually, I was on the West Coast. We were in Seattle, and we did San Francisco and Los Angeles, and we were in Toronto and Chicago, and now where am I? I'm in New York, and tomorrow I'm in Florida.
Now where am I?
And tomorrow I'm in Florida, and then the next day after that we're in Texas. So, you know, really going all over the country just to spread the message of, you know, don't give up. You can start late. You can finish rich. But really more importantly, you can go for your dreams. I mean, so much of what I teach is congruent with what you teach, which is that, you know, dreams come true when you decide what you're going to go for them. And I'm a big believer that the number one reason people don't go for their dreams, usually it's money. And so, you know, my dream is to free people financially, because I believe that God puts us all here for a reason, and that when you're freed up to use the talents that you were put here to use, that's what makes the world a better place. And that, you know, money is just a tool. And, you know, as we go out and try to help people build their financial freedom, my goal is to get people to give back. I mean, I've done speeches in the last 3 weeks in front of like 20,000 people, and I end all my speeches now talking about the power of giving back and the power of tithing, and this idea that if we're going to all focus on making more money, let's also focus on giving more money. So it's been a lot of fun, and I get to meet, you know, obviously people who have read my books everywhere we go. I just got done with a book signing. We had 3,200 people show
up. Oh, my Lord. You know what, David? I have to say you're probably the only guest I've ever had on my Dream Circle who answered five of my questions within the first response. Because, you're talking about what your dream is. You're talking about philanthropy. You're talking about faith. You're talking about what stops us from dreaming big. Let's focus in a little bit on that for a second. Because I think the real gift here when you're speaking to people who are dreamers and dream of dreaming big, you're talking about how to overcome what stops you, and of course, living rich. We want to focus in on how do you live rich, not just finish rich. So people say to me all the time, I'd make my dreams come true if I only had enough money. And then I ask, how much do you need? And of course, the most common answer is, I don't know, but I know I don't have enough. So people think the biggest obstacle from realizing their dreams is money. You know, how would you address that?
Well, the way I would address it is, first of all, the great truth of life is that most people's dreams cost less than they think. My second book was Smart Couples Finish Rich, and there's an exercise. We actually do this in all my seminars where one of the exercises is that you take a list, you take a piece of paper out, and I'm sure you do this, Marcia. We have people make a list of their dreams, and we tell them, take 15 minutes and write out everything you want to do. And I tell this story, it's a true story, about my wife and I, how, you know, she reads the book, and she looks at me, and she's like, this is a great book. We ought to try some of these things. I'm like, what are you talking about, honey? We do all this stuff. We pay ourselves first. We have, you know, we bought a home. We pay our home off early, like all the financial stuff. And she says, yeah, but you got this whole great area about writing out your dreams with your partner, and we've never really done that. I'm like, well, we kind of done that. And she's like, well, no, let's do it right now. And so she hands me this, you know, yellow pad of paper, and she says, you know, you write out 50 dreams. Your book says to write out 5. Let's go 10 times that, and we'll write out 50 right now. We're lying by the pool. We're on a cruise. And I write out 50 dreams, and she writes out 50 dreams, and this whole thing takes like 15 minutes. And I hand her my list of dreams, and she hands me her list of dreams. And it was amazing because we had been together about 6 years at this point, and half the things on my list and half the things on her list we had never talked about. And a lot of them were the same. And as an example, we had down for, you know, simple things. Like, we both had down we wanted to take up biking, which was kind of funny because in 6 years of being together, we had never gone on a bike ride, and neither of us owned a bike. But that's a small thing. It doesn't take a lot of money. We both had down we wanted to give more money to charity, which we had talked about, but we weren't really doing. We both had down that we wanted to give that we wanted to go visit Montana, which we had never discussed. Again, not necessarily an expensive thing to do. And then about 5 minutes later, I'm flipping through a men's health magazine, and I come across this ad. And this ad says, you know, bike ride, Montana, 575 miles in 1 week, raise money for AIDS research. And I pull this ad out, and I go, look, honey, we can get 3 dreams done right away, quickly, instantly, boom. And she looked at me, and she's like, that's crazy. But long story short, we had been putting money in a dream account, just a little bit, every couple weeks when we got paid. And we took that money out of that dream account because we had been putting it in an account specifically for a dream. And we went out and bought bikes, and we trained in the Bay Area for 90 days. We went from never biking to 90 days later going out to Montana and doing a bike ride where we biked every mile, 575 miles with 1,000 other people across the state of Montana. And we're part of raising millions of dollars for AIDS research. And we personally raised over $20,000. And it was like a dream come true for us. We got in shape. We had a sport we took up together. We helped other people. And
I just want to say there's so much that you're talking about here that we talk about in the dream process, which is, you know, get clear about your dreams, set powerful intentions, share your dream with another person. And often that's where the magic happens. So, you know, here in the moment, you guys were sharing a dream. You were aligned on it. You know, it was just one that happened to wind up on both of your lists. You open the magazine. There's the opportunity. You know, because you've shared the dream with each other, there's a little built-in accountability, and lo and behold, the dream winds up taking you beyond what you even expected that it might.
Well, and that's exactly right. And I think that, you know, the thing I share with people is that the easiest way to make a dream come true is to just decide what the dream is. And again, if a lot of dreams take money, but they don't all take money. And then if a dream takes money, let's just use it. I'm sure, you know, going to Hawaii is an example. People go, oh, boy, I wish I could go to Hawaii. Well, all you got to do to go to Hawaii is save $10 a day. You know, I call it the latte factor. Instead of going to Starbucks every day and having a latte, take that $5 to $10 a day, spend on lattes and bottled water and cigarettes, and put it in a dream account. And before you know it, at the end of the year, you got yourself a huge account, and you can go anywhere you want.
Say more about the dream account.
Well, the idea of a dream account is that you need to fund different baskets for different parts of your life. So I teach that you want to find what I call a retirement basket. This is really your pay yourself first, where you're putting money away for long term for the future. And then you want to put money away for security. That's a different account. It's separate from your checking account. This is in case of emergencies. You put money in a security account. And then the third account is you have money for a dream account. And when I was a financial advisor, we would literally sit down with our clients and say, what's a dream of yours? And they'd tell us. And we'd say, great, we're going to open up an investment account. And we're going to put it in that account specifically for your dream. When do you want the dream to happen? And, you know, people would come in and say, well, I want to get a brand new kitchen. Great, how much is the kitchen going to cost? And they go, well, I'm not sure. We'll go find out. They come back and say, the kitchen's going to cost $50,000, which is always funny because people who build nice kitchens never cook. But we'd say, great, you want a $50,000 kitchen. How much money can you save each month? And they'd tell us. And we'd say, okay, well, based on that, we need to invest this type of an investment, this type of a rate, and in 36 months, you'll have enough money for your dream kitchen. And that's how we would get people to fund things for a purpose. And they come into our office, and instead of focusing on the mutual fund, they'd focus on, how's my kitchen account doing? You know, or how's my go-to-Italy account doing? And that made it really more exciting for them. They became more committed to saving for that account, and it was also more fun for them.
I love that. And also, David, because you touched upon it, let me go back. So then the latte factor, it sounds like, ties in with the dream fund.
Yeah, well, the latte factor ties in with everything. People never believe that they can save for anything. Everybody always says, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. And yet we see that people have so much money they're spending on little things. And literally, the latte factor is a metaphor. It's not the lattes. I'm not trying to take people's coffee away. It's the idea of looking at what are the small places that you spend money and seeing how it adds up. We have, on our website, Marcia, now we have over 1,000 success stories from real people since last year that, you know, saw me on Oprah, went and found their latte factor, started saving the money, and now have seen themselves save thousands and thousands of dollars by simply doing this one little exercise.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's how you can send your kid to school or put a down payment on the house if you really have to. If you got really focused and intentional, it sounds like, and watching where, you know, we have an old saying, take care of the pennies, the dollars take care of themselves.
Well, and it's exactly right. I mean, people work so hard for money, and then they rarely get their money to work hard for them.
Yeah. You know, and also, David, because you talked about, you know, using money for what's purposeful in your life, let me ask you, I remember reading this in Smart Couples Finish Rich. You talk about a value circle. And we talk a lot in this whole Making Your Dreams Come True process about once you know what your purpose is, standing in your purpose, the quality of your dreams will change. And I know that you say, you know, what's the purpose of money in your life? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I'm a big believer, Marcia, that, you know, your values come first and everything gets built around that.
Mm-hmm.
So that when your values are clear, your financial decisions and really all of your life decisions become easier. And so, you know, people know what they need to do. They just don't do what they know. So how do you get people to do what they know they need to do? And the answer is you get them clear on their values. When we did one of the Oprah shows on couples and money, we had all these couples that were fighting about money and they wanted to get divorced. And we went into their house with the camera crew. And the first thing I was asked from the producers was, how are you going to get these couples, you know, to stop fighting? And I said, well, we're just going to have them talk about their values. We're going to have them write their values out, write their six core values on a piece of paper, and then talk about it. And I remember a producer said to me, well, are you sure this will work? I mean, why would somebody stop fighting just because they're talking about their values? And the answer is, when someone you love tells you what's most important to them, not you know, I want you to stop doing this, or I don't want you to spend money on that, but when they tell you what's really most important and what their core values are, people care. And when you tell yourself what your core values are, and then you start saving money in effort to make those values real, people care. You care. And so it's about really becoming honest with yourself and standing up for your own life, saying, you know, this is what's most important to me. And
I also think there's such a different energy around moving away from problem solving and moving toward vision and dreams.
Oh, it's, you know, most people are in, and you know this, most people are in what I call the yeah, but cycle. You know, no matter what you say, it's yeah, but I can't get out of this. In fact, Starlight Finish Rich, because it's such a psychological problem, we start the book now with an exercise to basically get people to write out all of their what I call if onlys. You know, if only I had done this, if only I had started saving sooner, if only I had bought a home when I was in my 20s. And we have them write it all out so that they can then literally turn around and burn it or tear it up.
Great.
So they can get over it. Because the reality is you can't fix what's already been done. You can only fix your future.
And living in regret, that's what it sounds like to me as well. We talk about that as the voice of the doubter, that at one point you want to turn it up so you can hear it all, get it all out, and then you want to move it aside so you're really free to dream.
Yeah, and most people's doubting voice, as you put it, I don't really know if people need to turn it up because it's so loud, it's almost all they hear.
But it's today to dump it, like you said, get it out of your head so you can do something different with it.
You know, people beat up on themselves more than they would ever allow a stranger to beat up on them.
Oh, isn't that? That's so painful. So, David, back to the value circle for a second. What are one or two things that people listening can do, you know, to look at their own value circle or with their couple in their relationship?
Well, we have an exercise on our website at finishrich.com where you write out your values, and then what you do is you compare your expenses side by side with your values so that you can see is the way I spend money congruent with my values. And what people will find out when they do this exercise, and they can really do it at home, they can just take a piece of paper out, line up all their expenses, line up their core values. When they beta test it, when they take their expenses versus their values, what they'll find is some of their expenses match their values and some of them don't. And the easiest things to change in your life are the ways in which you spend money that are not congruent with your values. So I'll give you a real-life example. Often when we live in a place like California, or I live out in New York, we're very driven by outward success. So I had a young woman say to me, you know, she was working so hard. She's a mom, but she was working so hard, and her husband was working hard, and they were both earning about $70,000 a year. So between the two of them, they were making $140,000 a year. But they were living paycheck to paycheck. And one thing she did when she reached her goal, her dream of $70,000 a year in income, is her dream was to drive a BMW. So she went out as a reward. She leased herself a very expensive BMW. Well, that BMW now was causing her to work an extra 10 hours a week, so she wasn't home to spend time with her son, ever. And you know, when she saw that her values were to be a good mom, to have a successful career, to have financial security, what she saw for the first time was that the way she had spent money on this BMW, even though it had been a dream of hers, it wasn't actually congruent with her values. And in fact, her biggest dream was to spend more time with her young son who was growing up. Because she was working so hard, she couldn't do that.
Mm. You know, and also, I mean, it makes me want to ask you, you know, how do people put a price on their dreams? You know, so again, we kill off our dreams before we explore the possibility whether or not we can afford them. I hear that all the time. Well, I know I can't do that. Or, you know, what this woman even, you know, did is sort of kind of lost touch for a moment with what her values were, and then she kind of came back to herself, it sounds like. But what about the people who are just in that, gee, I know I can't make my dream come true. I know I can't afford it, so why bother?
Yeah, well, that's so much of what led to Start Late, Finish Rich, was people just saying, I know it's too late, why bother? And the answer is, it's never too late. Unless you're going to die tomorrow, it's not too late. So the time to start, I believe, on your dreams is now. The time to start on your savings is now, because the fastest way to make your dreams come true is to just decide to go for them. And again, so much of this doesn't take money, but I'll tell you the great truth is that when we see people buy their freedom, and for most people, buying your freedom means if you took a person's expenses, and let's say it was $3,000 a month, if you could get somebody to have a year's worth of expenses set aside, the financial confidence that would come from having a year's worth of overhead set aside in a money market account, in a CD, very, very safe, that sense of security frees up your soul to really go for its dreams. And mentally, you start to change who you are, and psychologically, you change who you are because you start going, I've got some security. The reason most people never go for their dreams is that, you know, our studies show that 60% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. So they're so fearful that they're not even thinking about their dreams. They haven't even had the freedom to think about their dreams, much less figure out how to pay for them.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a phenomenal statistic? And David, the other thing I hear you starting to talk about, and let's transition a little bit more into that, the live rich concept. So this is not necessarily, you know, about money later in life, although obviously we still want to have some left over if we decide not to continue working or move into retirement. But what's the most important thing that we could do today to begin to live rich?
Well, you know, Start Late, Finish Rich is broken into five areas. And the last area, the last chapter, the last part of it is it says start late, live rich. This idea that you shouldn't postpone living rich for anything. You shouldn't postpone living, you know, I think it's really sad when you meet people and they say, well, you know what, I'm just saving money and I'll finally have a life when I retire 15 years from now. And I think that's a huge mistake. There is no do-over button in life. You know, the time to have fun, to enjoy your life is now. And I, you know, the question I always ask people is, are you living rich? Are you living a life that brings you joy? Or are you missing your life? And again, you separate the myth of retirement from living rich, because so many people they look at retirement as the holy grail. This is the place where life will start. And that's not the case. I think living to retire is not living. And so I really teach the secret is to ask yourself, when was the last time you experienced joy? It's actually something I learned from Oprah. It had a profound impact on her life, and it had a profound impact on my life. And I suggest that there's a way in which you can focus on building joy into your life now. And so much of building joy into your life is learning to ask yourself better questions. So I have a list of what I call the Live Rich questions, which are designed to get you to rethink about how to focus your energy.
Give us an example of one or two, will you, David?
Yeah, you bet. Well, I mean, I'm reading right out of my book. It's on page 314. The Live Rich questions. What makes you happy? And I say, be honest. Think about all areas of your life. What makes you happy at work? What makes you happy at home? What makes you happy with friends and family? What makes you happy when you're by yourself? What do you do? What do you love to do? So few people spend time asking themselves, what do I really love to do? You know, what would you do if you only had 3 years left to live? Would you spend it doing what you're doing now? And I think, you know, as you read out these questions, the last question I ask is, what's the single most important thing you've learned about yourself as a result of answering these questions? And then I suggest that you write it down, because I honestly believe that the purpose of our lives is joy. The purpose of your life is joy. And there are I've created what I call the Live Rich Principles, which are four simple ways to get more joy and more juice out. We want to share those with you.
Sure, we'd love to hear that.
You know, principle number one is become connected to your truth. And often I think we lie to the outside world and we lie to ourselves. So the most important thing to do is to be honest with yourself. Are you happy? Are you doing what you want to do with your life? And if you're not, why aren't you? And that's where the Live Rich questions come in. Principle number two is to stop judging yourself. We judge ourselves, we compare ourselves to others, we have our parents' voice of negativity sometimes in the back of our brains, or maybe the teacher that we had that didn't support us, and we're too tough on ourselves. I really believe that we need to love ourselves more, and one of the key things that does when you start to love yourself more, when you get rid of negative thinking, is it helps you, which go to principle number three, which is to stop judging others. It's very hard to be happy and go for your dreams if you're judging other people. And our culture often has been set up to be what I call dream stealers. Instead of supporting our dreams, we're almost raised to take people's dreams away from them. Oh, no, you can't do that. That's not realistic. Who are we to ever tell somebody else what's realistic? And so I recommend that we stop judging others. And then principle number four is really a fun one, which is the idea that we should pursue fun with a vengeance. That, you know, I've got this little 18-month-old son right now, and Jack, he just wakes up and has fun from the moment he's awake. Life's a big game for him.
He's a great teacher for you.
The children are great teachers, because when you look at children, they're not caught up in anything else other than being happy.
And I can really hear, David, you know, I've known you now for many years, I can really hear since you've had Jack and, just a deeper spirituality in your life. And as you talk about these principles for dealing with dream stealers. By the way, that's part of why I created my dream circle, and this whole community was so that people would have a place where people are saying, gee, I believe in your dream, and what are you doing about it, and let's go for it, and don't compromise on your dream, and I believe in you. And these four principles that you just spoke about, telling yourself the truth, which I call living with integrity, to stop judging and beating up ourselves, you know, more self-love, to stop judging others. So that would be transformational in the world. You know, and I just adore this last piece that you're learning from your son about really pursuing fun with a vengeance. And I think when we're so mired in reality and so worried about, you know, are we going to be able to pay our bills this month, I think that's one of the things that has made it difficult for people to dream.
I know it for a fact. I mean, that's why I'm so passionate about the gift of financial education, because I think the easiest thing in the world to do is fix your financial problems. The amazing thing...
I want you to repeat that so people hear that.
The easiest thing in the world is to fix your financial problems. I mean, when you compare this issue to just about every other issue in life, for instance, losing weight. Losing weight is difficult. Being rich is easy. Now, I mean, I should say being rich is simple. When I teach my seminars, I always say, it's simple to be wealthy, it's just not easy, but it's simple. The principles of building wealth are simple. The person saved an hour a day of their income if they worked a 40-hour work week, and you save 1 hour a day of your income automatically for the rest of your life, you'll have financial security. The only other thing you have to do beyond that is buy a home. And if you buy a home and pay it off early and pay yourself 1 hour a day of your income automatically for life, you're going to have financial security. There are very few things in life that are that guaranteed and that simple. And yet that simple message is not taught in school.
And when you talk about the automatic millionaire, because that is, I know, a core principle is to pay yourself first. Pay attention to the pennies with the latte factor. You know, buying a home. Anything else you might want to add to the, because you've been starting to talk about the how to become an automatic millionaire philosophy?
Well, you know, I mean, Marcia, you know, you're somebody who I've coached, true? I mean, when you and I started talking 5 years ago, and we talked about so much of this stuff, one of the things I talked to you about was taxes, was the importance of having good people around you.
Yes.
Because if you pay less in taxes, that's money that goes right back in your pocket. And most people spend very little time for even asking themselves, do they have a good accountant?
Exactly. You did. We sat out on my deck. We shared a lemonade. You put me in touch with a wonderful CPA who's definitely made a big difference in my life. Thank you.
You know, but that was a small. You know, and I said, and I remember saying, and you have to buy a home. You know, these basic things. You know, because these are all things that help you pay less in taxes and build your wealth.
Yeah.
And again, some of this stuff is unless you're raised with it, people don't know. So I just say to people, go get some financial education. I mean, now I have a whole library of books for people. So whether you're a woman and you read Smart Women Finish Rich, or you're a couple and you read Smarter Couples Finish Rich, or you're starting late and you read Start Late Finish Rich, or The Automatic Millionaire, spend a couple hours in the next 30 days getting some financial education. And over the year, make your financial freedom a priority. Because I will tell you that unless you spend some time on this, it's just like your dreams. Unless you spend some time on this, it's not going to happen. And yet the fastest way to make your dreams real, I believe, is to clean up your financial life.
Absolutely. And I want to say, David, I so believe in what you're saying, and specifically in you and your work, that we are creating an entire place on my website, on the dreamcoach.com website, that is the money area, need help financing your dreams, and we're actually going to have a David Bach area on our website to feature you.
Well, that's so exciting. I just have to tell you, again, your website looks incredible. So congratulations to you, because you are somebody who I have seen really go for their dreams, and you have really evolved. And you are making such a huge difference now as you build really dream makers into dream coaches. I mean, the exciting thing about what you're doing is that you've taken what was once upon a time you, and now you're creating 1,000 other Marshas.
Yes, and I think the other thing that I really was, inspired, you and I have talked about this, is that our messages are really important, and we wanted to make them available and accessible and affordable to people. So that's part of why I created this community and this whole model, and then the whole idea of certifying dream coaches so that people could take the message back out to their community. But I've watched you, you've turned into Oprah's golden boy. So tell us just a drop about being on Oprah. I'm sure you get asked that a lot. But for you personally, David, what was the most satisfying part? I mean, because you were really watching people transform their financial situations right before your eyes. What was the most satisfying, fulfilling part for you about being on the Oprah show several times?
Well, gosh, I mean, what was the most fulfilling? I think sometimes when you're sitting on stage, I know because you've been on stage next to Oprah, too. So.
A couple of times, yes.
I know you have. I mean,
I know it was one of your dreams, so you made that dream come true.
It's somewhat surreal. I mean, I'm sitting next to Oprah, and they've basically taken my life's work, and at the end of the day, they've turned it into we worked together on what was ultimately it's a 45-minute television show. And so to see all of my work, what I've been teaching for 10 years, you know, what I started teaching in the Bay Area in an adult school with 12 people, and be sitting on stage with Oprah, really sharing very much similar, the same message, only now knowing this message is going to reach 20 million people, instead of 12 people, you know, to be sitting next to her and talking about the latte factor and knowing, you know, tomorrow there will be millions of people talking about this little idea that, wow, I do spend small amounts of money on little things. You know, this idea of paying yourself first. My goal with that first show was, let's get Americans off the couch to go pay themselves first. And if we can do that, we can make a difference in the world. And I know we were successful in that because I literally every single day we get emails from people around the world that tell us how that show changed their life. So, you know, what was very fulfilling was to be on a show with her, and I think we did a very good job of really taking my life's work and making it into a powerful show that could reach people at home and get them to take action. That was my goal, and I think we achieved that.
From 12 people to 20 million, it is a lot. You know, but I mean, that was really just the beginning. I mean, your message is, I think it has caught fire because it's a really essential message. It's basic, it's simple, it's profound. I mean, that's for me, the things that are the most profound are the things that are the most simple. But the question is, you know, what will somebody do right now? And I think that you're really good at taking it right down to, you know, what is the most essential thing you can do and the easiest thing you can do right now that would make a difference?
Well, I appreciate that. I think at the end of the day, there's so much stuff out there that is, you know, I mean, even when we were planning a show, they had done 12 financial shows. And I said, you know, you guys have done a lot of great financial shows. A lot of them have been very entertaining, but I don't think they've gotten people to always take action. I think, you know, my gift is let's shake people up, but let's get them to take action. Let's really empower them to go get it done. And I remember, this was a very life-awesome experience. The day the show aired, the next day I was in New York, and I was in a studio waiting to be on another show, and this woman comes into the walks into the reception area, and she looks at me, and she goes, I saw you on Oprah yesterday. And I said, I know. And she said, well, she's like stuttering. She says, I've got something I think I've got to tell you. I said, what? And she looked at me, and she kind of had her eyes watery, and she said, I've been here for 9 years, David, and I've never saved a penny. And she said, I want you to tell Oprah that I went and signed up this morning to save 1 hour a day of my income. And I got chills, and I went, wow, thank you. And then not 5 minutes later, another person walked into the office and said the exact same thing in the reception area. She said, I just took my 401k plan from 4% to 12% because of the show yesterday. I thought, you know what, that's what this was all about. This was about getting people to see that show and go, you know what, I can do this. I can make a change in my life today and get it done.
Well, we're certainly grateful that you're using your life to help so many of us change ours. David, what do you think is one of the big myths around living rich?
I think the biggest myth is that you have to make a lot of money to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
And that the more money you make, the easier it is to become wealthy. And the fact is we see the exact opposite, that the more money people make, often the poorer they are.
Why is that?
Because they spend more. Our lifestyles increase, and our desire for more things increase.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I live in New York City, and if anything, New York City is the home of the million-dollar income and zero net worth. I mean, you know, it's hard for people to even fathom that, but a lot of people in New York City make $1 million a year, and they're actually broke. And they're literally, if they don't get their bonus check at the end of the year, they're upside down financially. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because when you like the Automatic Millionaire book is a true story based on a couple from San Leandro, California that came into my office with having earned $35,000 a year and they were able to retire at 52 multimillionaires. And they had a very ordinary income, but they became extraordinarily wealthy. So we see that ordinary people often become the wealthiest because they're just smart with their money. They keep part of it.
So it's really about saving it, isn't it?
It's about spending less than you earn and saving
mm-hmm.
it.
Spending
so,
less
so
than you
simple.
Earn. I'm sorry?
It's so simple.
Spending less than you earn. And investing it, is that important
yeah.
as well?
It's spending less than you earn and investing some of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The fastest way to wealth is to pay yourself first and buy real estate. And people just go, you know, it can't be that simple. Give me something else more complicated. Now, there are ways to do all of that in a smart way. I mean, one of the things I talk about in Start Late, Finish Rich are real estate mutual funds. Because a lot of people really aren't prepared to buy real estate right now, but you can invest in a real estate mutual fund. And I list funds in my book that, you know, last year the average real estate mutual fund went up 32%. And most people have never even heard of a real estate mutual fund. So, you know, I try to give people things in my books that, you know, they don't realize are out there, but they can go get in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, and I want to urge people to pick up Start Late, Finish Rich. It's out. You know, if your bookstore's out of it, have them order a copy. Although the Barnes & Noble here had it on end caps. They had it behind the cash registers. There's a workbook that's available with it. Because, you know, in a call like this with David, we don't have a lot of time to ask him the details, exactly how to map it out. But you do that in the book and the workbook, right?
Yeah, I designed these. You know, for 9 years I was a financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. And what I try to do with my books now is design these books so that it's almost like hiring me to sit down with you one-on-one. And by reading the book, it's like I'm sitting at your house coaching you. Well, go do this. Okay, now go do this. Now go do this. And I'm kind of there patting you on the back. Hey, great job. You got it done. I'm proud of you. And I love that because then people come up to me and they feel like they've already met me. And they're like, you know, it's like I had you as a one-on-one financial coach. And well, that was the goal of the book, was to be your personal financial coach. Only you had a relationship with me and I was your guide through a book, an audio tape.
And I have to laugh because although I'm America's dream coach, I've read a few places that you are America's most loved financial coach. And what do you attribute that to?
You know, I don't know. You know, Marcia, I think the thing that's happening right now is that we have millions of people now in the last 5 years, millions, have gone through my seminars or read my books. And so what we're seeing is that we're seeing a lot of real people get real results. And when you go to our website, we say real people, real results, real advice, real people, real results. And when you start to see people get real results, that's where their friends go, well, how did you do this? And so we're starting to have almost crusaders out there saying, hey, you got to read this book. I mean, we have people who buy our books by the cases to give to their family and their friends after they've read the book because they want their friends to have the same success.
Well, I'm going to interject here that one of the reasons I think you're the most loved, besides that you have so much wisdom and insight, and you share it so generously, it's because you're a man that truly does have heart and soul. And when you talk about philanthropy, and you talk about giving back, and you talk about self-love, those are not necessarily the typical things that you might get when you go to see a financial advisor. And what I love about your work, David, and I think you and I are kindred spirits in this, is that it's a whole-brained process. You're teaching people how to be visionary and to dream, but also that they have to be strategic and practical. And then you're giving them the real nuts and bolts, simple things that they can do today in order to live rich and to finish rich.
Well, Marcia, it means a lot coming from you. And you know, I'm so grateful for all the mentoring you've done for me over the years because you've been very generous with your time with me. And it's been so much fun getting to know you and growing with you through this process, so thank you.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. Now, don't go away. We're going to open up the lines here. We'll just do questions for about 15 minutes. And if you're listening in before I open up the lines, if you're not going to ask a question or if you're in a place where the background is noisy, please take a moment right now, hit *6 to mute out your phone. Because that way we don't have to hear all the beep, beep, beeps when we open up the lines here. *6 to mute your phone out. *6 to unmute it if you want to ask a question. If you could just say your name, where you're calling from, and if we can get some short questions, we can probably take a whole bunch of them. So I'm opening up the line. And if you have a question for David, please go ahead. Say your name, where you're calling from, and what you'd like to know.
This is Dawn in New York. I wondered what your best advice is for a family who's eliminated a lot of their latte factors but is just in a kind of a crushing debt situation and can't seem to get out of it.
Well, it's a really good question. And because I've been asked so much, the whole beginning of Start Late, Finish Rich focuses on how to get out of credit card debt. It's very hard to get out of credit card debt unless you get the interest rate lower. So the first thing you have to focus on is the interest rate and can you get the interest rate lower. And in Start Late, Finish Rich, I walk through exactly how to do this. I would take advantage of every credit card out there right now that's offering 0% interest. I would move my credit card debt to a 0% interest credit card so that way over the next year you'll actually be shrinking your debt. You know, $10 a day, I'll give you an example, $10,000 in credit card debt, if you pay the minimum, it takes 37 years to get out of $10,000 in credit card debt. If you add $10 a day extra to the credit card debt, you're out of credit card debt in 22 months. So when you go back to, like, the idea of a latte factor, $5 to $10 a day can really change a person's life, and that may mean having to give up a cell phone, as an example, in order to get out of credit card debt faster. So I think you have to really look at your expenses and be brutally honest with yourself and say, do I have to have $80 cable television set or cable services? Do I have to have a cell phone? Because you're going to have to give something else up, realistically, to get yourself out of debt faster.
John, does that help you?
Yes, it does. It's just some of it is convincing my husband that he doesn't have to have that many channels. But you know.
David, you want to comment on that?
Well, you know, the key thing with in the new book, I talk about the double latte factor, which is this idea that don't give it up. Like, don't give up cable TV. Just if you've got 250 channels, get the regular package, which costs $29.95 in New York instead of literally $100. I mean, it's funny because my assistant just got, you know, I've been doing all these speeches, and she looked at me and she said, you know, I'm on the road with you so much, I can't even watch TV, and I actually am spending $100 a month on my cable television. And while I was on the road with her, she changed her cable package, and so she saved $70 a month, which over the years is over $800. That's a lot of money.
It certainly adds up. Thanks, Don. Another question for David. Just please say your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, David. This is Ivana from Washington.
Hi there.
Hi. Hey, oddly enough, I was speaking to my friend the other day who owns a latte stand, and we were speaking about business and how her business is doing, and she said for the whole first year that she hasn't been able to pay herself, and I said, well, don't you know you're supposed to pay yourself first? And she didn't understand that, and I'm like, well, I don't remember the philosophy behind that, but I know you're supposed to pay yourself first, and I'm going to find out why. And so could you explain to me again why we do that so I can tell her and get her your book?
Well, paying yourself first, in order to pay yourself first, you have to avoid taxes. The only legal way to not pay taxes first, when most people, when they earn money, the first 4 hours a day of their income goes to taxes. It goes to federal tax and state tax. The only legal way to avoid those two taxes is to use a retirement account. So when you use a 401k plan or an IRA account or a self-employed retirement account, and you pay yourself first, the first hour day of your income, you're completely avoiding taxes. So that's number one. Number two, unless you pay yourself first, you never get around to paying yourself. So you always pay yourself last. And the problem is when you pay everybody else first and you get to the end of the year, you don't pay yourself at all. I mean, especially self-employed people, they're the worst at paying themselves first because not only do they not pay themselves first, but they keep hiring more employees and they keep growing their businesses, and so they're always
sometimes we never pay ourselves.
I'll tell you what, 75% of self-employed people don't have retirement accounts. And, you know, I was just a friend of mine the other day whose business is up to like $6 million in revenue, and he still has nothing in savings. And when he was a million in revenue, he had nothing in savings. And he says, well, I'm putting all the money back in the business. I said, you know what? If you ever go out of business, you'll still have no money. And it happens all the time for people who are self-employed. So part of being in business for yourself is saying, you know what? I'm gonna make sure that at the end of the day, the end of the year, I've got money set aside, and the only way to do that is pay yourself first.
And David, don't you often recommend that people set up some kind of an automatic withdrawal or automatic deposit so that they never even get to touch the money?
Absolutely. And you know, it's harder for self-employed people if their income isn't consistent. But the best way to pay yourself first is put yourself on salary and then make sure that you're taking something right off the top and using a retirement account. And even for somebody who's a one-person business, you can still hire somebody like Paychex for $100 a month to run your payroll and do all this for you.
Great. Thank you. Another question for David. Is there anything at all that you'd like to comment or ask about?
This is Christy Schnabel in Portland.
Hi, go ahead, Christy.
Hi, I'm a friend of Liz Doherty's, by the way.
Great.
And my question is, does it always make sense to pay off your house? Because we paid off our first house, and then we used all that money to trade up. And now we have about 68% equity in this house. Does it always make sense to pay off your house?
Well, I think that's a lot of equity to have in your house. I think you're in great shape. I'm a big believer in using a biweekly mortgage because that takes a 30-year mortgage and shaves down the time frame to 23 years.
David, state what that is for the people who don't know.
Yeah, a biweekly mortgage is where you take your mortgage payment, it's split in half, and so if it's $1,000 a month, $500 every 2 weeks goes to your mortgage. And when you do a biweekly mortgage, your mortgage is split, is basically being paid down faster. So I like that approach. And then if somebody wants to accelerate their mortgage, there's a lot to be said for retiring with no debt. It's not a requirement. I don't think you should take a lump sum and pay your homes off, but I do think making little extra payments on your homes to get it paid off early is a good idea.
David, I have a question for Marcia, and if anybody else wants to jump in, we'll come back to opening it up. A question I have for you is, it's a little on the personal side. So with all this wisdom and everything that you teach, which one of your principles is challenging for you personally to follow?
Right now, what's challenging to follow, Marcia, is balance. because when you're traveling all over the world and you have a wife and a little boy, I've been on the road for almost 2 months straight, and she's coming out and meeting me everywhere. But it's hard. It's hard to do it all. It's hard to write seven books in 5 years and do all this TV and do all this touring and stay healthy and run a team and have lots of friends. And I try to do it all. So what's the hardest part is balance.
I remember when you called me on Christmas Eve day to talk about my website. I was wondering, and I finally said to you, you better get off the phone and go back and be with your wife. But, I mean, is balance one of the principles that you actually teach?
Well, maybe that's why I'm not using it. No, I really don't teach balance. So I guess, one of the principles that I teach are hard to do, but I do believe in balance, and I do believe, when you look at your value circle and you look at I believe in the importance of being well-balanced, and I do my best. I also believe in really making, one of my highest values is to make a difference. So I believe that what I'm doing right now is, I love it, and I'm very passionate. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about it. But I would say right now the hardest thing for me is balance.
Yeah, because at the end of this call, you're running off to do another media interview and a book signing, aren't you?
Exactly, and then I get on a plane and I go straight down to Florida to do a speech.
Wow, that's a lot happening. That's another question for David.
Hi, David. This is JJ. I think my hardest, I guess my question is, how do you jump off and start your business when you're making a six-figure salary? How do you justify that to yourself and your family to make that jump?
Well, I jumped off a seven-figure income to do it. So how do you do it? There's just a couple things. One, you don't just leave your job to do something that you don't know is proven. I don't think. I think what you do is you build your business on the side while you have the job. So how did I build Finish Rich, Inc. while I was a senior vice president of Morgan Stanley? I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and I worked on my company from 5 o'clock in the morning until 7:30 or 8 in the morning. Then I went to Morgan Stanley, and I worked from 8 o'clock until 5 or 6, and then I worked on my business again from 6 o'clock until 9. So, you almost have to sometimes work two jobs in order to build a business on the side. When my business, and this is not what everybody does, but in my case, when my business got to $1 million in gross revenue, I could look at my wife and say, you know what, this thing's pretty legitimate now. I'm up to $1 million in gross revenue with no office, no staff. We could probably afford to walk away from Morgan Stanley. And I had money in the bank. Now, not everybody can say it that way, but what I would say is you build a nest egg. You take the income that you're making, you start to build a nest egg, you have a specific goal. I made a goal to have $1 million liquid. Some people might make a goal to have $50,000 liquid. But I do think it's important to be smart financially before you just give something up. If you're making six figures, I think it's important to be smart financially. If you spend the next year really cutting your expenses and really saving money, then you're going to also have more time to afford to get your business going. Because a lot of the times what happens is people, they want to go for their dreams, which they totally believe in, but they don't give themselves enough of a financial cushion. So they leave a great career, they haven't really planned or thought through going for their dreams, they just hope it's going to work out. Things don't work out well in the beginning, and then a year later, they've lost their career, and now they're upside down financially. So being a conservative money guy, it's doing a lot of planning in preparation for a change in your life.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
One of the things I hear you talking about, David, is shifting toward what you want and not focusing so much on what you don't have. I think people get obsessed with their debt, so the thought of putting money away or moving toward a dream might feel like too much of a leap. Would you say anything about that?
Yeah, well, again, this all comes with taking baby steps. Whether it's $5 a day towards your debt or $10 a day towards savings, whether somebody's listening and they say, like in my case, I really wanted to leave Morgan Stanley because I really wanted to help millions of people, and I knew I couldn't do that just being a financial advisor. So it took me 5 years of working towards the goal and the dream of doing it full-time. I didn't just wake up one day and go, I think I'll do this. I'll quit my job, and I'll go write a book, and then I'll hope that the book sells, and I'll hope I can make money doing this. I planned for 5 years, but 5 years go by really fast. The next thing you know, your dreams are all coming true. I mean, the other day I looked around and I said, God, everything that I dreamed about 10 years has come true. But it took 10 years. Now, people look at me and they think I'm an overnight success. And my biggest joke is, I am. I'm an overnight 10-year success story. But they didn't see the 10 years.
And you worked it hard. And it was almost like you were working two full-time jobs.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'll tell you this, though. When it's your dream, it doesn't feel like work. Like, I don't consider anything I do to be work. I don't go, oh, man, I can't believe I've got to go to work today. I love what I do. I would do it all for free. So the fact that now I'm making a lot of money doing it, that's even more fun. That's like icing on the cake.
And I agree the same. You know, that's I have the same philosophy that as we connect with our passion, we're living more on purpose. It doesn't, and that was one of my dreams. My dream was to be paid well for doing something that never felt like work. Sure. Where I would wake up in the morning and I would feel joyful and energized and couldn't wait to do it. And I'm happy to say that that's really, when it comes to my work, that is absolutely the dream that has come true.
You know you're doing your dream's work when it doesn't feel like work. You know, I remember once hearing, was it Tom Hanks say that, I think it was Tom Hanks, because I remember going through the Caldecott Tunnel and Tom Hanks is from Skyline. And he was saying that, you know, what was the greatest thing about winning the Oscar 2 years in a row? And he said, the greatest thing about winning the Oscar is not the Oscar. He said, the greatest thing about winning the Oscar is that everybody told me I couldn't do what I'm doing, and I bet on myself, and I won. And I remember getting chills hearing that and thinking, you know what, that's what it's all about. It's about betting on yourself, betting on your dreams, and then winning.
And I also want to add to that because it truly has been one of my financial entrepreneurial practices all the years I've worked for myself is that I'd rather invest in myself, you know, than anywhere else. I mean, I know that there's the philosophy, and I did buy a house, David, you know, and that, you know, that there are smart places to make investments. But when I take a look at, you know, that I have a company and it's growing in an organization, I like to put my money into investing in my dreams. Do you have a philosophy about that yourself?
Well, I think it's the smartest investment you'll ever make, but you still have to make investments in actual investments. I mean, you know, I pushed you to buy a home a while back, and tell me, was that not the best investment you've ever made?
It was the best investment I ever made. There's a P.S. story to it. It turns out that I bought a million-dollar teardown, and so I'm building a new home. But you know what? At a core level, it transformed my work because I had to go to a deeper level of faith in order to take it to the next level. So on more levels than you can imagine, it was the smartest thing I've ever done.
Well, and I love to hear that. I think, you know, again, I say to people, if you're not confident financially right now, and a lot of people aren't, you know, I just beg you, even if you don't buy the books, go to a library and check my book out of the library. Read the book for a couple days and put some of these ideas in place because they're all timeless. And they really do work, and they really will free you up so that when you start wanting to go more for your dreams, and hopefully you'll start sooner versus later, you feel like you've got the financial confidence to make them happen.
It's awesome. I think we have time for one more question. I have another question, but I'm saving mine to the end. One more question that somebody would like to ask David. Want to jump in? I know we have a lot of people on.
You know, the last thing I just say also, Marcia, is that people should go get our free newsletter at finishrich.com because it goes out every month, and we share with you ideas on ways you can make these things happen every month to kind of keep you motivated to do it. So that's all on our website.
And I also think that's on the finishrich.com website. I think what's really important is that if you're serious about dreaming big, whether your dream is to be a philanthropist, you know, the Mother Teresa dreams where you want to change the world, or your own personal dreams that you want to have a better quality of life and impact the people around you, one of the things that's essential, you know, once you're clear about the dream, you write it down, talk about it, you do the work to remove the fears and doubts that might get in the way, it all comes down to what are you going to do about it? And I think, at the very least, subscribe to David's newsletter so that every month there's something that's coming to you. You know, first of all, you take the step to demonstrate that you're serious about your dream. You're not just talking about it. But then every month you have an opportunity to use a tool that's going to really support you in taking the steps required. David, my last question for you is this. What's your dream?
Our dream right now is to reach and free 100 million people worldwide. So, you know, with Finish Rich Media, our goal is to build a global financial education and media company that will literally free financially 100 million people worldwide so that those 100 million people will tap into their God-given talents and make the world a better place. And to teach that we all have the ability to give back, to make the world a better place. So as we build our company and we bring on great people who want to make the world a better place, you know, our goal is to reach 100 million people worldwide over the next 10 to 15 years with this important, empowering message.
It's fabulous. It's inspiring. And what about you on a personal level?
On a personal level, well, I want to see my son continue to be a wonderful, happy, healthy young little boy, and I want to keep my wife happy. Michelle, and you know, and stay healthy and stay and have fun in the process of doing all this. I mean, that's really my dream. We love living in New York, and I'm very grateful for the life that we have, and we just want to continue to enjoy it.
And David, final question, who was, I think I know it was Grandma Rose, but who was one of the biggest role models in your life?
Well, you're right, it was Grandma Rose. I'm looking at a picture of her right now, sitting here on my desk. You know, my grandmother was a huge, huge inspiration to me, not just financially, but really spiritually. And I continue to, you know, I know she watches over me up in heaven, and I continue to share her message of hope and of going for your dreams. So much of what I teach today are things I learned from Grandma Rose Bach, who is from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She sold wigs at Gimbel's Department Store, and every day I'm out there sharing the message that Grandma's taught me.
And what was her core teaching to you?
My grandma's core teaching was to go for your dreams. Mm. She told me before she passed away that there are really, in your life, you would come to a handful of major decisions, really where you would come to a fork in the road, and that in a lifetime that maybe it would happen five times, and that when you got to the fork in the road, there'd be two people inside of you, a little boy and a big boy. And she said the big boy would want to take the safe route, and the little boy would want to take the risky road. And her message to me, right as she, you know, was really passing away after she'd had a stroke, she said, you know, let your little boy come out and play more. Because when you get to that fork in the road, if I could give you a gift, she said, take more risk. Mm. And she said, share that message with other people. And so that's really what I've been doing ever since she passed away, which is in 1997.
You know, I have a Grandma Rose. And my Grandma Rose used to teach me that nothing ages you faster than stinking thinking.
I love it.
And I love what you just said about taking risks, because when I look out 10 years from now where I want to be personally and professionally, my big dream, which is really about creating a dream movement in the world where people will follow their hearts and have the courage and confidence to go for what matters to them, when I look back standing 10 years from now to right now in time, and I ask myself, what's the single most important thing that I really need to do right now? It really is trust on a deeper level and take intelligent risks. And I think, I feel
you're doing it.
I am doing that. Thank you. Yes. And I mean, even calling you David, even though we've been friends and colleagues for a long time, you've become a real big shot.
Oh, please.
You know, and in the take a risk department, it's about reaching out to fellow kindred spirits. It's about, you know, realizing that we have gifts to share with each other and ways to support each other. And I just love and adore you personally, and I'm so inspired by the work that you're doing. And I'm just so grateful to call you my friend, is really what I want to say. So,
Marcia, listen, I just want to say thank you to you, because the feeling is mutual. I say ditto back to you, because yeah, it's really been an honor, and you gave me time when nobody knew who I was, and you treated me exactly like you treat me now, and nothing has changed. So I'm a big hug to you out in California today.
Oh, thanks, sweetie.